All right, so we've been in a series for the last couple weeks here, one more week next week, and it's all about that in 2020 with everything going on. We don't need a little Christmas, we need a lot of Christmas, a whole lot of Christmas. So however that is best for you, then I'm going to encourage you to do that and kind of go all in. So that was the theme. Last week was all about we need a lot of Christmas because we need a lot of grace. And Luke talks about that over and over again. You are never too far to be far away from God, that you are not invited. And it's always safe to come home to Jesus. We learned that last week and how important that is that we know that and we follow that and that we never give up on anybody, especially at Christmas. We should be reminded of that. So this is my little challenge to you. Whatever's going to help you remember what Christmas is all about, go all in. Go big, okay? So my thing is music. Absolutely love Christmas music. And somebody, whoever you are on YouTube, I love you. I'm going to send you money because you took one of my favorite Christmas albums from a kid and you stuck the whole thing on there. It was great, okay? I will just tell you it no longer exists because I'm going to date myself here. My mother had an 8-track, okay? And I wore the 8-track out, okay, of this particular one, and then the player broke. And if you want to know what an 8-track is, go to Smithsonian on vacation and go check it out. That's probably the best I can tell you. So that was mine. So somebody put the whole album on there. It was great. Listen to it. It's just like sitting back in front of that 8-track player listening to that. So that's just amazing. That's my thing, whatever your thing is this type of year. Okay, if it's baking, if it's putting up 15 trees, if it's getting all the inflatables in your front yard, then you need to do that. Am my mic not on? Let's see. I could have probably not have turned it on. Look at that. Let's try that, Jake. It does help when the light is on and it's working. So we'll try that. Just give me a thumbs up if we're good, okay? All right, so whatever will help you to go all in this year, then do that. Go all in, whatever you need for Christmas, go in whatever it is that you enjoy, whatever it is that is good for you. So, four perspectives on the birth of Christ. This is kind of where we have been. So, remember, Matthew was week one. Luke was week two. This week, we're probably going to be in an unfamiliar place. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. And maybe you don't think John ever talks about Christmas. He just actually does. He just doesn't talk about babies and mangers and angels and shepherds. He takes us down a little bit of a different path. And you got to understand something about John. John is the last writer in Scripture. Okay, he's the last one. So everybody's done. Luke's gospel is out there. Matthew's gospel is out there. So if you ever wonder why you're reading John and John talks about different things, it is because exactly that. He's the last one. He's like, oh, nobody told the story about this. Nobody wrote about this part. And so when he comes to talking and beginning about Jesus, I think he says some very fascinating things that nobody else writes about that helps us understand Christmas a little bit more. And this is what he writes, beginning in John chapter 1, verse number 14. Now the Word, because that's how he referred to Jesus at the beginning of his gospel, okay? The Word became flesh, and he took up residence among us. Okay, that's really what Christmas is. The Word became flesh and he took up residence. He moved in literally to the neighborhood. The word there is the word tabernacle. Okay, he tabernacled among us because the picture was that John grew up understanding and knowing that Jesus came to live right among us, just like God came and indwelled the tabernacle with his presence. That now we have a presence who took on flesh and stepped into our world. And that means everything changed from that moment because of what Jesus had done. So use this word, it says the Word becomes flesh and he took up residence among us, which helps us to understand that we worship the incarnate Word, the Word that became flesh, and then we have our Scripture, which is the inspired Word. And you have to have both together. Otherwise, what happens? Well, as one person talked to seminary students, and I listened to his message, he looked at him, he said, you will walk out, he said, I've seen it hundreds of times. You come to seminary, you're all excited, I'm going to learn more about the Word of God, and you walk away and you're like, I don't know. And he said, because you worshiped the wrong thing. You thought the text was everything. And if you'd worship Christ, the incarnate word, you'd get the inspired word, and it would change everything about the direction of your life. So he continues, we saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. So last week, remember, it was all about grace, but he adds a different word this week. And the word is truth. He continues. John, he says, testified. Now he's talking about John the Baptist here, right? He's saying he testified about him. And he shouted out, this one was the one about whom I said. Well, he said what? He who comes after me is greater than I am because he existed before me. So this is his proclamation right now. Remember, he goes, remember John the Baptist talked about this. And that's who he was talking about. For we have all received from his fullness one gracious gift after another. John's like, do you understand? Because Jesus came and the word became flesh and he walked among us. He says, you don't mean we've received one gift after another. It's always Christmas. There's always gifts being given by God, one after another, to us. He says, for the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came about through Jesus Christ. In other words, he came to usher in a brand new era. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's what John wanted us to know. Do you understand? He ushered in something brand new. Grace and truth got ushered in at the same time with Jesus. So that if we forgot what God was about, God's about grace and God is about truth. God gives us so much of what we don't deserve out of his incredible grace for us, which was the picture last week that Luke tells us over and over again. And then I believe what John wants to do is understand, do you know what Jesus came also to do? To tell us the truth that we need in order to fundamentally build our lives on and see that change that he wants to produce in our life. So John uses the word truth 49 times in this gospel. So for those of you who grew up in church and you read passages like John 3, where he's talking to Nicodemus and he says, verily, verily, that's the King James Version, I say unto you, that word there is the word truth, okay? In other words, Nicodemus, I've come to tell you the truth. Came to tell you the truth of what it means to be born again, and how don't you know this? You're a teacher. So every time he says that in the book of John, if you remember that, he's simply using the word truth there, and he uses the word believe 84 times, okay? Because he doesn't want us to believe anything. It's not just believe in belief. See, there's a lot of that going on in our world, okay? Well, I believe that's true. Well, that's wonderful. What is true is what matters. Not what you believe is true. And so he ties belief to I want you to know the truth, because I want you to see those two tied together. Belief and truth together. That's what Jesus came to do. And that's why he would say, I want you to believe him. Not because I want you to believe in belief, because I want you to believe what is true. And here's what we also need to know, that truth is not something we invent or we own. Rather, it's something far bigger than me. So whenever you hear people using the word my next to truth, just that's a warning sign, okay? And if you've ever caught yourself doing that, well, that's my truth. No, I don't get to own the truth. There is the truth, and I get to decide whether I'm going to believe that and trust that and put my life in that or not. But I don't get to make up my own truth. I don't get to invent it. I don't get to make it up. And there's a lot of making truth up right now, okay? There's just a lot of that, or leaving it out and omitting it. I don't get to do that. I don't get to decide what's true. I don't get to invent it by myself. I just get to proclaim what is true that Jesus came to proclaim. And so what I really want to do today is just show you three examples that probably if you've read before, probably you've read these passages before. And I just want to remind us today that there are some specifics about the truth and knowing the truth and believing the truth and trusting the truth instead of inventing my own, making my own arguments, trying to own this or invent this. I'm simply going to live out what the absolute truth is. Yes. So here we go. Three examples that John records for us from the life of Jesus. The first is the Samaritan woman. This is John chapter 4. This is a very familiar passage, but again, nobody tells us this story but John. John could have been going, what's the matter with you guys? Okay, why didn't you tell this? This was incredible what happened that day in Samaria. It was amazing what took place. It was amazing what happened that day. So Jesus has this conversation. In this conversation with the Samaritan woman, he begins to ask her questions. And he asks her, well, bring your husband, okay? And she says, I don't have one. He says, right. Right you are when you said you have no husband. For you've had five husbands. And the man you are living with now is not your husband. So in other words, why does he do that? You ever thought, well, why did Jesus talk about that? She wanted to talk about living water, and that's a topic he brings up. Why does he do that? And this was the woman's response. This is not what she told Jesus. This is what she told everybody who would listen about Jesus. That he told me everything I ever did. Like, I couldn't keep anything from him. He knew what was true about my life. Do you know why Jesus does that? Because this woman is searching, obviously. She is searching. And she kept looking for love in all the wrong places. That was what she ended up doing. And she went from guy to guy to guy to guy to guy. And she meets Jesus. And Jesus invites her to what? Drink something different, live something different. But if he doesn't talk about where she's currently trying to get that from, he hasn't helped her at all. Because she doesn't know. She's just assuming, I'm just doing what I can. And Jesus is inviting her to something different. And so here's what I want you to know. Because this is hard, but we're just going to talk about it anyway. The truth is not always easy or comfortable, but necessary for salvation and following Jesus. That's what I need you to know. It is necessary for salvation and following Jesus. It is necessary. And it isn't comfortable. And it isn't always easy to have conversations with people who have drifted, or conversations with people who are far from God, and they don't understand, and they just think, oh, the church is just here to judge me. When we're motivated out of love for a person, that's when we're probably the most willing to have conversations with people that I'm going to tell you are not easy, and they are not comfortable, but they're necessary. If you really care about that person and the direction of their life and them following Jesus, it starts at salvation, believing the truth, which is what? That I am lost without Christ. I am lost without him. I am far from him. And without being saved, rescued, and redeemed, I am lost not only for this life, but for eternity. So I got to start with that truth. And not just I make up whatever happens after death. We know what happens after death because Jesus told us. And if you would trust in me, guess what happens? Even death doesn't have a grip on you because of what I've done. So it starts there, and then it starts with loving people as they are following Jesus. And that means when people drift, because it's so easy to do. In fact, it's just hard to follow Jesus in our culture with everything going on. And so we drift, and we all drift. And if we don't have a people in our life who love us and care about us and who are willing to tell us the truth, we will continue to drift. And we'll continue to end up in places we really don't want to end up because of that. So I'm going to tell you now, it is not easy. It is not comfortable. But there's probably all people we know that we should talk to them about the truth. Yeah, but it's hard. It's difficult. I know. But if you're motivated out of love, that makes a huge difference. If you're motivated by, well, I guess I'm the police and I got to tell everybody what to do, that's not going to work very well. If you're motivated by love, you have a better chance of success. Might they get mad at you? Probably. Had that happen plenty of times, okay? Might they be upset with you? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. If you really care about that person and love that person, you will find a way to have conversations about the truth that they perhaps have drifted from and left. And listen, we could just be honest. We're not willing to have those conversations because we are scared quite often of losing some friendships, of having people upset at us. And yeah, that's probably going to happen. I'm just gonna tell you, okay? It's probably gonna happen. And if you're motivated out of love, I'm telling you, you have the best opportunity to do that. So perhaps this Christmas, there's a conversation you need to have with somebody, and are you willing to have that conversation? Second one, the Judean believers. Now, why do I call them that? Because that's how Jesus starts. That's how this passage tells us, okay? That he tells the Judean believers, they've gathered around and listened to him, and he says this, if you continue to follow my teachings, you are really my disciples. And then he says a very famous saying that you've probably heard before, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you keep following my teachings, doing what I've told you to do, okay? For us today, that means I open up the word, I let this word speak to me, it tells me what to do, okay? It tells me what the truth is. You will know the truth, and the truth has the opportunity. It will set us free. The truth may not be popular opinion or conform to the norms of society, but it always brings freedom. Okay, this one's really hard too, okay? Because we are inundated all the time with messages that are opposite scripture. We just are, all the time. And you have to decide what you're gonna do with that. See, we've not only divorced the grace from truth, okay? So we struggle with that. We've divorced love from truth. And we've started now to say, well, the only way you can love me is just let me do what I'm doing. That's real love. No, that's not. I'm just going to declare it right now. It is not love. It is not love when you know somebody's going in the wrong direction and you just say, well, I guess I got to love them. Okay? And loving them means I don't want to say anything to them. And then all of a sudden you are advocating for positions that they're not scriptural. They're just not. But you're doing it out of what? Because I have a personal relationship with somebody. I don't know how this love and truth work together. We've divorced those two. Okay? I know well-meaning people who believe things that are totally unbiblical. Okay? Have all the best mean intentions. When you talk to them, do you know what you always, always, always find? A personal example. Somebody in their family. A child. A brother or sister, somebody in their family they care about, and they don't know how to hold those two things together. That scripture might say that something is wrong, something is sin, something is going to trap them, and how do I love them and help that without just saying, well, I got to get rid of the truth, okay? No, love enters the truth, and I figure out how do I love them and accept them and be with them for all of it without affirming that what they're doing is right. That's a hard line to walk. And it's the best line because Jesus says what? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We've been told that freedom's what? Doing whatever I want. No. That always ends the slavery every single time. Being enslaved to sin, being stuck in things we don't want to be stuck in. And Jesus invited us to something different. And then he invited us to invite people into something different. And Jesus did this constantly. He constantly loved people who were nothing like him, who didn't live the right way, who were full of sin, okay? The people who followed Jesus, what, were quite often sinners and tax collectors. They had their own little categories for how bad they were. But they were intrigued by Jesus. And all the while, what is he doing? Oh, it's okay, live however you want. No, he's constantly speaking the truth into their life and loving them at the same time. And that might not happen a lot in our culture, but we got to figure out how to do it. So all of you followers of Jesus listening to me, online, whatever, we need to do this better. We need to figure out how do we love somebody in spite of the way in which they're living and love them into the truth without just affirming, okay, whatever you're doing is fine. No, how do we love them in spite of what their life is saying and invite them into a relationship with Jesus and watch Jesus change and work on their hearts and in their life. The last one's Pilate. And you may never think there's just not a lot of words exchanged between Jesus and Pilate, okay? Pilate is the Roman governor. He's put in charge over this whole area. From what history tells us, he hated that assignment, okay, because there was constant upheaval. He ultimately gets fired from that job because of everything going on. But he is the one that Jesus is sent to, because the Jewish people cannot kill Jesus, okay? They cannot sentence him to death. They have to let the Romans do that, and so they bring Jesus to Pilate, okay? And Jesus and Pilate have several different exchanges. This one's really interesting, okay? And here it is from John 18. Jesus saying this, "For the reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Because Pilate's trying to figure out who this guy is, okay? And he ultimately, we're told, does what? He puts a sign on the cross that says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Because he doesn't know what to call him. He can't find anything wrong. And the sign is supposed to say what he did wrong. It just says he's the King of the Jews, because Pilate didn't know what to do. Jesus is telling Pilate, "Pilate, you want to know who I am, okay? For this reason I was born." What reason? "To testify to the truth. For the reason I came into the world was to testify to the truth." Do you know what Pilate's response is? "Everyone who belongs to the truth," Jesus says, "listens to my voice." Pilate asks, "What is truth?" And in fact, after he says that, he walks outside. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Pilate would have told Jesus, if the conversation could have continued, "Jesus, I don't know what truth is. I just do whatever the emperor says, okay? That's my job, okay? Try to keep the peace, do whatever the emperor says. Truth, all I know is what Rome says, okay? That's truth." If they could continue the conversation, I think that's where it would have gone. That's where it ended up. But all we're left with is Pilate asking this question, "What is truth?" Maybe you've asked that question, okay? One of the key components in understanding the truth is critical thinking. It's how do I listen to something and be able to critique whether or not it is true? We have to do this all the time. We got a custom, okay, that we could trust things. We could trust news organizations. We could trust politicians. Okay, maybe never, but right. We could trust some people. Okay, and can I tell you one of the huge blows that happened this year? There's a lot of things I don't trust anymore. I don't know about you, okay? Because there were a lot of lies that were told early on. And instead of people being honest, and we don't know, and we need to figure this out, and we can all learn on this together, we just keep perpetuating lies at times, okay? And I do not blame a lot of the people. So in other words, if you would turn on Channel 13, okay? I don't blame Dan Winters for saying things that aren't true. You realize he does have a producer, and there are stories that he has to cover. And it's the local stories, they do really great. When they get to national stuff, you're like, what? Okay? It's really, really hard. We've lost critical thinking. Okay? Just because it's in the newspaper, it's not true. Just because you read it on the internet, it's not true. Just because you heard it on the news, it's not true. We have to, and we used to always do this, be able to critically think through topics and situations and go, is this true or not? Is this true or not? What does the evidence say? What does the data say? What can I discover? Okay? That's an important thing. And we have to be willing to do that when it comes to Scripture too. Paul ran into a group of people called the Bereans. And he loved them. You know why? They sat there, okay? They couldn't watch online, obviously, but they sat there and they listened, and then they went, think Paul's telling us the truth? I don't know, you think he is? And so they would get to the scrolls in the synagogues that were all the Old Testament, okay, what we call our Old Testament now. And they would go, oh yeah, see, here, that's what Paul was talking about. Here he was right. They didn't sit there and just say, well, Paul said it has to be true. They actually critically looked and thought it through and went to and referenced it to find out if that really happened. And you know what Paul said? Those stupid Bereans, what are you doing to me? No, he commended them. Says, finally, somebody's getting it, okay? It's not true because I said it. It's true because God said it and God proclaimed it, and they went back and figured that out. What is truth? See, the truth is not hard to find. It's just difficult to apply. It's really not hard to find, okay? We have more Bibles in our country than probably anywhere, okay? You have more access to Scripture than you've ever had in all of history, okay? You have all of it. So it's not hard to find. It's just difficult to apply. Because we read something, we're like, oh man, that's gonna, man, I gotta stop doing that. But I like doing that. And I can justify doing that. And all my friends do that. And everybody tells me to do that. And this latest sitcom I'm watching, everybody's doing that. Right? So I don't know if I want to do that. It's not hard to find. It's just difficult to apply. Because most of the times we just don't like what it says. And I think we should just be honest about that. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we're reading Scripture and we just don't like what it says. Which is called conviction. Which is where God's saying, see, if you just help, you know, stop doing it your way, start doing it my way, that is so much better. This is why I beg and plead with you, get the Scripture into your life as much as possible. Because God will speak in through it into your lives and help you where you're confused and you're unsure. And I don't know about this. And what should I do about this? He helps us in every single situation all the time to know what is truth. Then you just got to decide, am I going to actually apply it to my life? See, we need a lot of Christmas because we need a lot of truth. And we need to take that truth and we need to put it into practice into our life. And then watch what Jesus will do in and through that. That is the life that he promises in John 10:10, where John wrote what? The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And I've come that they might have life, Jesus said, and have it to the full. Well, that full life is a life lived in the center of truth and living that out in our lives. So I hope at this Christmas, you will revisit Scripture. You will revisit what God says. If you have questions about topics, okay, you can email me all the time. We have a new email address that we put out there for our newsletter and other things. It's hello@thriveindianola.com. Really, really simple. You can email me all the time. You can say, you can say, please don't ever use me as a sermon illustration, okay? That's what you're worried about. You can just put that in the subject line, okay? Ask your questions, because I'm telling you, Scripture is an answer all the time. But I don't think you need my help as much as you just need to open up this word and let God speak into your life in all sorts of areas. And if you have questions, if you're wondering where to look, I would be glad to help you. There are all sorts of resources out there. But it's time we start remembering at Christmas that the incarnate word came, took up flesh, and he walked among us and left us through all the writers who saw him and wrote down everything that happened, his inspired word, so we would still know how to live and what to do and be able to live that out. So I want to pray for us today that we would do that. And if you have questions in your life, that God would help you in his word find out what you should do, how you should handle this, what you need to do about this. So let's pray together, and then we will sing again and worship the Lord this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would work in a powerful way this morning through your truth. I think we're so confused. We are so confused as a culture. We are so confused at what is true. We get messages all the time that are just contrary to your word. And sometimes we just don't know what to do with them. We have people that we love and we care about. And it's hard when they're not walking in the truth because we don't know what to do. Forgive us when we've divorced love and truth. And we've accepted, affirmed beliefs and behaviors that are not right. And they are not the best for that person. We did that because we didn't know what to do. The truth, Father, would you remind us, allows us, tells us to love in spite of whatever behaviors we see going on around us. To love and offer opportunities for people to walk into a relationship with you. Father, reveal to us any areas in our life where we are not walking in the truth, that we would repent of those and we would begin to walk again in the truth of your word. So help us, guide us, direct us, work in a powerful way in our lives. Remind us that you came at Christmas. Christmas is all about you. That you became flesh and moved into our neighborhood full of the two things we were probably missing the most of, grace and truth, and offer your life for our salvation. So help us to live that out, discover truth, live it out, and watch what you do in our lives because of it and through it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.